all I need to know about you.
That's 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 all I need to know about you.
That is all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. If you don't clean the snow off your car so the ice missile can punch me in the windshield, that's all I need to know about you. Or actually, you know what? If you clean only a 5-inch square on your windshield so you can peek through that tiny little area and drive on 95, that's also all I need to know about you.
Gotta love New England. Gotta love the wintertime, right? I mean, it's part of the adventure, really.
Is it? Is it? When I see those cars pull onto the highway covered in snow, and the minute they accelerate, everything comes flying off.
Right.
I wonder, like, did they do that because they thought it would be fun, or they just have no respect for anybody else on the road?
Well, I think it's a combination of those couple things. Plus, I mean, vehicles have got, if you've got a big SUV, it's tall. And so let's say you're 5.5 feet tall and you're climbing into this thing in the morning. I mean, unless you've got a handy shovel or one of those telescoping poles or whatever, it is kind of hard to get all of it.
Listen, I don't buy that. I am 5'2", and I drive an SUV, and I have one of those long arm ones. Can I get all the way to the center of the top of the car? No, but I can get a lot.
Well, then
I can get a lot.
You still got quite a bit then that's going to come off.
Not really. I do a really good job. And on top of it, the Connecticut State Police just tweeted a little while ago, not only are we encouraging travelers to slow down and leave some extra time to get to your destination, but we are enforcing the removal of snow and ice from vehicles. Please take extra time to clean your vehicle before heading out. Not removing snow and ice could cost you $120.
Well, that sounds unpleasant, that's for sure.
Yeah.
If your answer on Black Friday is to just throw all sorts of things in the cart and just order these things up anyways, despite the fact that you're not sure if anybody's actually going to like these gifts or if you need these gifts or whatever, that's all I need to know about you.
Sometimes I find things that are cool,
but
I don't really know who they're for.
Right.
You know?
That's
a problem.
What I'm talking about is you just order things and you're like, that's a nice gift and that's a nice price. You don't know who you're going to give it to.
Right.
Right.
It's like those Anthropologie candles. They smell so good and they're so cool. But then the minute you have it, I'm like, who am I going to give this candle to? And you know what ends up happening?
Yeah.
I keep it.
Yeah.
And I just, it's mine now.
I place an order, I guess, and I go, man, I hope Uncle Pete's got size 11.5 shoes.
Right. Not.
He doesn't.
This these is slippers, these Homer Simpson slippers are perfect for somebody.
Seems wasteful if I don't, if we don't have the right size.
1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. I saved Raven's Christmas.
It might be true.
You're welcome.
You feel a little bit like a Christmas elf.
Oh, it's Anna and Raven. I actually felt bad about it when it was happening.
And then after you felt good.
I was like, listen.
Because you got the shopping sensation after. That kind of took the sting off of it.
So this Friday, Raven and I were broadcasting from Stanford Town Center for Black Friday.
As we always do. Great time.
And we always try to get there a little bit early because, you know, we want to take part of the deals, too.
Right.
So we sit down at our seat, and Raven is all excited. He is beaming ear to ear.
So excited. I got there early. Mm-hmm. I had a little bit of time. I made good use of my time, so I thought.
He says, I bought Alicia a present. He's like, you want to see it? I'm like, of course I do.
Right.
Alicia's Raven's wife.
Proud to show it.
Yeah, he's like, I went to Aldo, and he opened up the box from Aldo.
I got a fantastic deal.
He was so excited about the deal. And they were the most hideous boots I'd ever seen in my life.
I mean, that seems like a lot, all right?
It's like if you took two black garbage bags and you pulled them up to your knees. And then you had some kind of duct tape to secure them in place around your calf.
You're being mean now.
That was the pair of boots that Raven got.
They were not that bad.
For his wife.
First off.
And it was hard for me, Raven, because I stopped for a second and I looked at them.
Yes.
With your look of
you
pride
did give
on
it
your
a,
face.
You did give it a pause. I did see you pause, and you gently actually said, those are not good.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
Right.
You are not giving those to her.
Right.
And as I said, okay, and I started to take the information from you, you said, no, we're going to go right over to Michael Kors. Wait, you know what? I can't say it. You were like, we're going to go fix this or whatever.
I can't tell you where this
But then
we fixed it.
Once I acknowledged the fact that, okay, I'm going to listen to you, then you didn't stop. Then you started ramping it up, and you were like, I mean, seriously, what's wrong with your brain?
I don't understand. But I don't understand.
Like, I mean, it was mean.
It was like you walked into the store and picked out the ugliest shoes on purpose
for
your wife.
I told you they looked so much better on the shelf, and they did. They looked like, when I walked in, I was like, oh, these are nice. And I was like, and this is a good purchase. And then when I opened the box and showed them to you, they didn't look the same.
Oh,
if that's a thing, I don't know.
That's not real. But
it felt real.
The funny part about about it is that, like, it's very rare that you have me available to help you shop for your wife.
Right.
So why wouldn't you use that as soon as we got there early and say, hey, you want to meet me and help me out?
Right. Well, no. Because I know that you were also shopping, too.
So we walked ourselves into another store. And what I did, and it felt so good, was I got to pick out her new shoes, and I got to use Raven's credit card, and then I realized
it was so good.
Love spending Raven's money. Right.
That you almost picked out a purse, too.
I did.
You were getting all over the place.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Right. The purse was a little too Billy Idol, but the rest of the stuff, right, was good. You enjoyed it.
I did. Yes. Congratulations. I saved Christmas for you.
Right, thank you.
Now you can go buy me the exact same pair.
From Aldo.
No.
I won't even return those.
No.
I won't even return
garbage those. Bag shoes.
Perfect.
No. I spent a lot of time over the weekend at a lot of different malls.
Sure.
And when you go to the malls at this time of year, of course you see the mall Santas.
Right, right. Santa's going to be out there. He's going to be in full force.
Right. Santa and Raven, I know the lines are long. The kids are excited. Everybody's got to get their picture with Santa, tell Santa what they want for Christmas. Mm-hmm. I understand all that. But I think there's a certain kind of etiquette protocol that goes along with being a mall Santa.
I mean, if you're going to be responsible about it, for sure. The days of being able to remember, like in the old movies, when you were a parent, you went to the mall. It was a shopping experience. You could just throw the kids at the Santa area
and move on with your life.
Right. And trust that everything was going to be fine. Let them wait it out.
Yeah.
You come back 6 hours later, find them exhausted. Now, you can't leave your kids in a line.
Right. No, you have to stand with them.
Right.
But it got us thinking, as I was waiting endlessly for Santa to appear, that there's certain rules that Santa should abide by. Like, one, don't take an hour lunch break right in the middle of the day. Like, I get it, Santa, you're hungry. But I was just waiting and waiting. And I kept saying to the elf, I said, excuse me.
Right.
Excuse me. Is Santa going to be returning? Santa's on lunch.
Right.
I go, does Santa go to the North Pole for lunch? Like, how long does it take for Santa to go out to lunch?
Here's the thing. Like, do you feel like the elf was there for your complaints? Is that what you feel? I feel like the elves are like Kanye's entourage.
Oh, really?
They're going to shut that down. The minute you start complaining, you're not getting into Sunday services.
No.
You know what I mean? Like,
I disagree. I feel like elves have been trained.
Like a customer service line to just be like, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, and then just ignore it.
Elves are like the PR department. They're there to be like, listen, Santa's going to be here soon. Everybody relax.
To calm
Meanwhile,
people.
Santa's upstairs in the food court on his third Sparrow slice of pizza.
They're having a good time.
I know.
Right, right, right. I think that as a rule, there should be no drinks on the job unless it tends to be in a Santa mug, that type of thing. Like, it has to look that way. I don't just mean booze. Because obviously that's a rule that you should not cross.
Santa shouldn't be having cocktails.
He should not smell like whiskey, no. But it just looks weird when Santa has a cup and tray from Chicken Now. It just looks weird.
Right. Well, yeah. Right. Well, that actually leads me to the next thing is that Santa in general shouldn't be wearing anything and act as an endorser. Because when you think about the biggest celebrity endorsements of all time, right?
Like
LeBron James and Nike and Jennifer Aniston and that fancy water that I never bought it.
I can't afford it. That's Jennifer Aniston water.
Right. Or the Matthew McConaughey and Lincoln and driving those fancy cars.
They are pretty.
Santa Claus is the biggest celebrity of all time.
Right.
So when he's rocking Timberlands.
Yeah.
And I get on his lap. I'm like, listen.
It's an endorsement.
I want the boots that you're wearing.
Right.
And I didn't know Santa was endorsing Tim's.
Yeah, but they're specially made.
They are?
By Timberland elves.
Oh.
These elves go out. They ship out for Timberland training. It's like going to boot camp.
I get it.
It's actually exactly going to boot camp. As a matter of fact, they call it Santa boot camp.
Okay.
Santa cannot be territorial. All right. Like, so I understand that this is your area, Santa, all right, here in the mall.
So many fences.
But by it, yes, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes people have to walk through this area. I'm trying to get from here to there.
No.
And now you've created a whole maze of fences and bike racks here. It's ridiculous. What are these racks doing here in the middle of the store? It's like going to a bank line and trying to get to the teller. I can see you.
Right.
We're looking eye to eye.
Yeah.
But I have to go through this weird crisscross thing to get to you.
You have a better chance of getting into the hottest New York City club than getting past that line.
That's right.
At Santa Claus at the mall.
If it's not an elf that's going to take you out, it's certainly an angry parent who's been waiting there for 5 hours.
Yeah, these seem like simple rules for Santa Claus at the mall. Last year, I didn't get invited to any Christmas parties.
And what?
Yeah, like, you know, obviously the work ones where they have to invite everybody.
Right.
But I didn't get invited to, like, any like none of my friends had holiday parties. So I'm so excited that two neighbors that I don't know all that well have invited me to their neighborhood holiday parties this year.
Is it going to be before or after you're on like holiday break?
One is the 14th and one is the 21st.
I prefer everything to be happening before because I want no obligations for when I am, right? Because I want no rules when I'm on break. I don't want to have to wake up for anything and I can't guarantee showers.
Well, here's the thing. It's Anna and Raven. I have a big kind of concern, and this is so ridiculous, okay, but it's a real thing. So when you go to holiday parties, you're obviously kind of dressed up a little bit, you know?
Sure, sure.
I'll
you want to put your best foot
forward. My fancy jeans I'll put on, my fancy jeans.
Nice, the magic ones.
The magic fancy jeans.
Right, right.
But when you walk into somebody's house that you don't know that well, mm-hmm, and it's a party situation.
Sure.
Do you take off your shoes?
Yeah, and the other thing is it's cold weather, of course, right?
So, I mean,
when you're dealing with that,
right.
And so, I mean, even if you have boots on, you're going to end up with, like, sweaty feet, right? You're wearing Uggs.
Right.
You walk in the place,
well, you're not going to wear Uggs. You're going to wear, like, your boots, but then your feet are going to be sweaty. You're right. So when you walk across the tile, it's going to leave those marks.
And God forbid somebody actually walked in and then they didn't step right on the carpet now. Now you've got a situation where all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm in a puddle. Yep, that happened.
I don't know.
No problem. I'll take my shoes off here. Oh, now my sock is wet.
Yeah, but not even that, but, like, obviously my feet won't smell. I'll do my best to, like, put clean socks on.
But you can guarantee that?
But I, you know, for the most part, usually bathing takes care of that. But I don't know. Is it expected? It's not like I'm just going there to chill on your couch.
Right.
We're going there for a party. There will be hors d'oeuvres and cocktails served. So do you are expected to take off your shoes in a party situation or not?
I think with Christmas parties, most of the rules have to be, they have to be evacuated, right? You have to abandon the rules because you know that it's going to be cold weather out there. So people are coming in bundled up. There's going to be piles and piles of coats and all that stuff. And God forbid it's actually snowing or something like that. You need like five different racks of trays or whatever for shoes in itself.
You don't think it's weird that people are taking off their shoes and they're kind of strangers?
I think it's, you know, and carpet plays a big role. This is just another reason why I despise carpet.
So now I have to walk into a house and ask, do you have carpet? And if they respond yes, then I take off my shoes?
I think you walk in and you go, shoes on or off? Or, of course, you look to the floor. First off, if there's 17 pairs of shoes out there, all right, then you know you got to take them off. By the way, if you're having a party, people, get rid of your kids' shoes. All right, I know they live here, but if you're having a bunch of people in, make some room for these shoes to be dropped. Because if you're the person that came in 15 minutes after everybody else got there, there's nowhere for your shoes to go.
I hate taking off my shoes.
Now you're going to decide whether you're going to throw your shoes on top of somebody else's shoes, and now you're disrespecting that other guest's shoes, but you're doing it so you're keeping it on the tray for the homeowner. I mean, you can't win.
Even if I come home and I have, like, only a half hour before I have to leave again,
right,
I won't take off my shoes because I find it to be really bothersome and time-consuming to put my shoes on and off. Because I've told you this before.
Yeah.
I have rather large calves, yes, so it's always hard for me to get the boots on and off.
Okay, right. But
right. I mean, like my Sorels, the snow boots that I'm wearing right now.
Yes.
You think these were easy to get on this morning?
I'm just saying, through all of this, you believe that even as coming and going at your house, never removing the shoes because of your abnormally large calves, somehow still your feet are not stinky and not sweaty at all? Feels fake.
1-800-330-9999. If you're going to a holiday party at a host house that you don't know all that well, you're just a guest, would you take off your shoes when you walk in the door? What's your protocol? What's your shoe removal policy at holiday parties? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. I'm so excited. I was invited to two neighbors' parties the first time ever for the holidays, but I don't know them all that well. So it's kind of weird because I don't know what to do when you walk in. Am I supposed to automatically take off my shoes? Am I supposed to, I don't know, gauge what everybody else is doing?
Right,
do
right.
Do I keep them on? Because parties, I feel like in general, you keep them on.
Do you awkwardly stand in the doorway and just say hello, but wide-eyed, looking at everybody's feet for a minute, for 30 seconds, solidly? They'd be like, I don't know why it took her so long to get inside here.
Jessica wrote on our Facebook page, I would ask them upon entry of their home, hello, welcome, excuse me, what is your shoe policy?
Right. Maybe you should send a memo ahead of time. Nextdoor app. If the Nextdoor app wasn't invented to figure out the shoe policy of the neighborhood, what was it invented for?
Penelope wrote on our Facebook page, she never takes off her shoes. I wear comfortable heels and I keep dancing till I leave.
Miss.
What if nobody else is dancing?
Right.
Doesn't right.
And everybody else is shoeless.
Right.
Then I'd be like, what's wrong with her feet?
Then why does she keep dancing?
They better be nice heels.
Chanel wrote, I have a newborn. Remove your shoes. I remove my shoes before I enter everyone and anyone's home. I get that. If there's babies involved, you got to take off your shoes,
crawling.
Right?
Crawling.
Right. They're going to take like all the rocks off the floor from your shoes. They're going to eat them.
And
my
first thought was that you, by accident, are stepping on or punting a child. That was but also, no. You know, Hedy, you want to avoid right. all those things. Yes.
Right. Yeah. If you trip over a baby, it's probably better in your socks than in your, you know.
I mean, I would hope so.
Yeah.
Right.
1-800-330-9999. What's your shoe removal policy at holiday parties?
So I have just kind of grown accustomed of just keeping socks in my car. So I change my socks right before I go inside. Then when I take off my shoes, I'm wearing a fresh pair of socks.
Smart. That
is
genius.
Smart. And then everybody around the neighborhood thinks that you are the person with, how do they keep their feet so clean? Those socks were
right,
pristine.
Yeah. And no one knows that there's just a new pair of socks. And I always try to make it a Christmas pair of socks and they're like fresh.
Nice right. thinking. You see, you know what socks I always have in my car? I go to a lot of trampoline parks with the children, and they always have the socks that have the grips on the bottom.
Good, so like I you're in a hospital.
Those. Right, yeah. So right. I keep those in my glove compartment. So right. what if I walk in the house, and now I'm wearing my trampoline socks?
Yes, good.
And now I have good traction.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. You change the socks in the car. What if you got in the car and your boots were wet and now you've had to change the socks in the car and hopefully you didn't step on the pad and get some wetness on there?
No,
all right? Because what's the odds of that? Getting your foot in and out of the boots.
The
you hope for the best. That's it.
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What's your holiday shoe removal policy?
I'm a big fan of no shoes, but if I go somewhere, I always take the cue from the host. Whoever opens the door and says hello and welcomes you, if they're not wearing shoes, you automatically take the shoes off.
Right, but you know they have the best socks. They have the best socks. This is their home base.
Yeah, that's true. So
they are the sock boss of this party. You know that.
That is a smart move, though. You look in, if they have their shoes on, your shoes stay on. Their shoes are off, no, your shoes come off immediately. Not bad, really, if you think about it. Makes sense.
Could be confusing to some, though. What if there is a no-shoe policy, but they're like, this is my domain, I'm the alpha, I do what I want.
It's so weird that when you go to parties with people that no one's wearing shoes, right? Kellyanne wrote on our Facebook page, she matches her holiday shoes to her outfit.
Nice.
And now she spent all this money, and now she's got to take them off?
Right, they got to come off immediately. And you know some idiot is going to stack their shoes on their shoes. I got salt on my brand new suede matching shoes because somebody else had to put their shoes on top of my shoes.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your holiday shoe removal policy at holiday parties?
So I always bring a pair of leather moccasins, and I always bring those so that then I don't have to step in puddles, my feet don't get cold, and I don't have to have a sweaty foot.
Wait a minute, you're carrying the leather moccasins as like an add-on? Is it like they're in your purse or in a bag or something?
I always have them in my car.
Here's the thing, though. Leather moccasins get wet, and you wear them one time. I got news. Leather moccasins stink after that.
These have a rubber bottom.
So you walk in, and you bring your hostess gift, and then in your other hand, you have a bag with your leather moccasins, and you just exchange shoes at the entrance.
Yes.
Okay.
And all my friends know I do that.
Feels awkward if you hand me a casserole at the same time and then in your next hand is your leather moccasins.
Right.
Because then I'm like, did you touch the moccasins and touch the casserole? Because I don't want your foot hands on the casserole.
What's weirder, that or Ozzy on our Facebook page who wrote, just bring the shoe covers like everyone else does. Do you travel with those blue shoe covers like when you go to open houses?
Listen, if you are not steam cleaning a carpet, what are you doing owning shoe covers, serial killer?
I'm going to a couple holiday parties this year, and I don't really know the hosts all that well. And I'm wondering, when you walk into a stranger's home for a party, do you automatically take off your shoes? 1-800-330-9999. What's your holiday party shoe removal policy? Anna and Raven.
Well, I just wanted to tell you a story how I went to someone else's holiday party, and like the caller before said, you dress your outfit to go with your shoes and vice versa. But when we got there, she made everyone take their shoes off, and she had these special slippers for everyone to put on, their mop slippers, M-O-P, mop slippers, if you've ever seen them. So they're literally a mop on the bottom of the slipper, and everybody had to wear them in different colors.
I feel like at this same party, it would be prudent to have a personal injury attorney.
Right.
Because somebody is going to bust a hip.
Although I do like the idea of getting a party favor that involves slippers.
I also love the idea of people arriving at my house and for once the floor being better when they leave than when they came.
That's right. It is back to Anna and Raven Westfield Trumbull Santa tip line. You can call 24/7. The phone number is 203-783-8282. Let us know who's been naughty.
Yeah. I mean, this is how it works on the battlefield, right? Mm-hmm. All right. There's somebody above you. They're an officer or something like that. And what happens when they go down? The next person's got to go up. Same thing on a football field or whatever. This is how you go from JV to varsity.
All right.
Narc out everybody around you and maybe Santa will think that you're a halfway decent human being.
Okay.
Message received yesterday.
Hi, Anna and Raven. I'd like to put my uncle on the naughty list because over Thanksgiving, he would tap my shoulder and say, "Oh, look over there." And then he would take my food.
Oh.
Not okay. So he's a trickster, but I still love him. But he deserves to be on the naughty list this year. All right. I love listening to your guys' show in the morning. Bye.
Message received.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a big one. What's worse, the uncle that taps you on the shoulder and takes your food or the one that's got your nose? I got your nose. I got your nose. Give it back. Uncle Tom.
She comes out strong and then she rolls it back because Christmas is right around the corner. And the crazy uncle is usually the one that shows up with the completely random but huge gift.
Right.
And you're like, yes, like you are my favorite uncle.
Like the bottle of Johnny Walker for your 12-year-old.
Uh-huh. Mom and Dad said I couldn't have it. You're the best uncle ever.
Yep.
Message received.
Yesterday, we were playing soccer, and my sister, she pushed me to the ground. Oh. And so I pulled her down to the ground, and I won. So she was bad. And she's been pretty bad. She's 8 and I'm 11. And she pushed me to the ground
because
she's being mean and
she's
really strong.
Bye.
Message deleted. Strong.
Wow.
I mean, she's strong for an 8-year-old. He also pulled her down, so I'm not really sure who's the naughty one here.
But here's the thing, all right? Just, you know, reading on people 101. If they repeat it, he's lying.
You think he pulled her down to the ground?
Oh, yeah.
And then she beat him up.
She beat him up.
Because she's strong.
Right. And now
he's mad.
Right.
So this is how he's getting back at
her. Very upset about it.
Makes sense.
Message received yesterday.
I have a next door neighbor that insists on parking too close to my driveway, almost so close that I can't make the turn to back into my driveway. And he does it all year long. He belongs on the naughtiness. Almost 1 foot in the way of my driveway, and I've asked him so many times in a nice way, I've given up.
What's your deal, neighbor guy?
Why are you doing that?
What's your deal?
He's asked you so many times not to, like literally a foot.
So nicely.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure it's illegal, too.
Right. You're 100% on the naughty list, neighbor. If you want to report somebody that hasn't been behaving this holiday season, the Anna and Raven Westfield Trumbull Santa tip line is 203-783-8282.
Oh my God, could you chew any louder?
Did you watch this without me?
Seriously, 6 more inches and it's in the sink.
Why do you do this? You squeeze from the bottom.
What do you want to get for dinner?
Let us solve your problems. Star 99.9, Honda of Westport Couples Court.
Renee and Andrew. Renee, let's start with you. What's happening?
My husband does not go to parent-teacher conferences. I go, I do what needs to be done, I meet with the teachers, I check online to see how her grades are doing, and he does nothing. He literally doesn't know anything until I tell him or until the report card comes home.
Well, I'm sure that he has his responsibilities as well. Is this how, I mean, this is how you guys have always done it? Obviously, you're saying this because you want to change, right?
I mean, I have responsibilities too. I work full-time and he works full-time, and it has always been this way, and always I've been trying to get it to change.
Okay. Yeah. Andrew, what's up?
Yeah, why wouldn't you go to parent-teacher conferences? Why don't you guys take turns?
I mean, how could you nothing?
Okay, back up. First, seven years old. Online grades for projects, like elementary school projects. I mean, what am I looking at? Like, how do you grade a finger painting? Writing out the alphabet? I mean, like, really, what is it I'm missing? Seven. And our kid is not, she's not a problem child. I would call her a saint. Gets along with everybody. And she's got friends I know about. And I know that by birthday presents, I go to those, you know,
Andrew, I feel like you're not answering the question. Why don't you go to parent-teacher conference?
He's not answering the question.
I hate to say this. I feel like it's the mom's job.
Oh, good luck with that argument. Okay, so.
Yeah, she's seven. She's not finger painting and learning the alphabet. And that shows you exactly how out of touch he is with what's going on.
I feel like, we're not trying to get her into college tomorrow. We're just.
This isn't about high pressure. Okay. This isn't about, oh my God, academic achievement. This is about investing in your child and her knowing that you are interested in what happens to her and what she's doing.
I invested in our child. You know how much I've bought already for presents? I mean, birthdays.
Not financially. Money doesn't do anything.
Andrew, let me just ask you point blank. Your wife is telling you she wants you to be involved. The teacher, no doubt, wants you to be involved. What is your resistance to this? I mean, what is your excuse for not going to a meeting prior and going to any now? Like, let's deal with the now, not the history.
I don't have a flexible job like she does, okay? Like, if I take a day off of work, it's just my whole week, and I just can't take a day off to go to a parent-teacher conference like she can.
Well, what we do is ask our audience what they think. And you know what, Andrew? There may be people that agree with you that this kind of has always fallen under Renee's responsibilities. Renee, maybe that's one of those things you're going to cut him some slack, and that's just the way he is. But they may see your side too, Renee, going to the school, being involved in the school, and certainly going to the open houses, the parent-teacher conferences is part of being a parent, and you should be with your wife when she goes. So take those days off. Do you both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I could do that, sure.
Great. Give us a call, 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Honda of Westport Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Renee is upset that her husband, Andrew, he doesn't go to parent-teacher conferences. He's not into going to, like, open house night. He says, she's 7 years old. There's really no reason for me to start taking days off of work to go to talk to a teacher when they're not really learning anything that's all that important at this point.
Yeah, you wait till that kid is a depressed teenager going, why did daddy not love me? Why did daddy never show up at my school play? Never there for any of the big days. Oh, I'm sorry. Daddy was busy.
Well, he was busy working. 1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the mom's side because both me and my husband work, and ever since my daughter came out, both of us have talked to the teachers. And I don't know about his unflexible position, but my husband doesn't have a flexible position either, but they have these things called phone conferences. You can talk to the teachers. And the earlier you do it and assist the teachers, the better your child is off right now. My daughter's in eighth grade, and she's got an A-minus average because both of us work to help the teachers help her.
I mean, she laid it out. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Honda of Westport Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Renee is a little bit upset that her husband, Andrew, isn't super involved with their 7-year-old daughter at school. He doesn't go to parent-teacher conferences. He doesn't want to get involved in the school open houses. Mm-hmm. His argument is, she's 7 years old, and I don't want to take the time off of work. And what's the big deal? You go.
Yeah, well, just, you know, remember that when Penelope is getting married and they show the video, you know, the montage where they always show the photos of their life and dad's never there.
It's a Honda of Westport Couples Court, 1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven, whose side are you on?
So I'm kind of on the husband's side. I think it's important for him to be there for special events, graduations, things like that, but it's not a necessity for him to be for every single meeting. It's just a waste of taking time off of work. As long as somebody's there to support her, that's what's important.
I'll be honest with you. My husband and I, we take turns. We never both show up. So every once in a while, if it works for our schedule, we would, but usually it's one or the other. And the other thing, too, is growing up, my father never once set foot inside my school. Never once.
My husband does the same thing.
Yeah.
You know he loves you because he still schedules you to work at the restaurant.
Right. Well, that's true.
Graduation.
Yeah.
But
hi, Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the guy's side.
Go ahead. Why?
Oh, boy, I think she drove off the road because she's on the wrong side.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
The wife. Many reasons, but the main one is I have a lot of friends who are school teachers, and they say one of the main problems these days is that parents aren't engaged, and they need both parents engaged.
Right. I mean, I think that when you're a kid, it doesn't matter if you're 8 years old. Thank you for the call. Doesn't matter if you're 8 years old, doesn't matter if you're 12 or 15, you notice stuff like that, and it does bother you. Does it bother some kids more than others? Absolutely. But it does bother kids.
So funny. Growing up, I never even thought about it. It was mom went to the school stuff, dad didn't.
And that's why you have that cold, dark soul that you have now.
That's not nice, Raven.
I know, but accuracy.
Well, okay.
And Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the guy's side. I did everything. My husband never participated because he provided for us. But I went through everything and I put my kids through college and there was never a problem.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Renee, our audience agreed with you. Andrew, you have to show some initiative to want to be part of your daughter's life, especially in school, because it'll make her strive to work harder.
My goodness. 7 years old. Okay, yes, I will take the day off of work. I'll take 2 days off. What? Sure, I'll just make that arrangement now and put it on my calendar. All right.
Renee, you have to be somewhat relieved with that passive-aggressive answer, I guess.
Thank you for saying it, because I was biting my tongue. Mm. Yeah, that I don't think this is going to change a single thing, because, as usual, he's never going to admit that he was wrong.
I can't wait to play this for your child when they're, like, 21, getting ready to have their own kid after college or something like that. One of her big life moments where she can turn to you and go, Daddy, it's clear you didn't love me, but thanks for showing up.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. CouplesCourt@star999.com. Patrick, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, leave the room, please.
Sure. Good luck, Patrick.
All right. Patrick, here's how it's going to work. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You answer them as quickly as you can. I'll invite Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. It's a tie. It goes to Raven. But if you could beat him, we're going to give you a $100 gift card to Little Pub, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Number 1, Johnny Depp is producing a Michael Jackson musical as told by his sequence glove. What color was the glove?
White.
Number 2, Nick Jonas and his famous wife celebrated their first wedding anniversary. Who is she?
I don't remember.
Number 3, Billie Eilish doesn't know who Van Halen is. Name one lead singer that fronted Van Halen.
David Lee Roth.
Number 4, Milk's favorite cookie revealed that their mystery flavor from this past September was churro. What is Milk's favorite cookie?
Sorry, could you repeat whose favorite cookie?
Milk's favorite cookie.
Chocolate chip.
Number 5, Alanis Morissette will kick off her Jagged Little Pill 25th anniversary tour. And she also announced that she's got a new album coming out. In her hit song, Ironic, an old man turned 98. He won the lottery. And then what happened?
Let's say she died.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in. Raven!
Yo!
Patrick got 3 out of 5.
A 3 out of 5 is pretty good. Let's see how I do.
All right. Number 1, Johnny Depp is producing a Michael Jackson musical as told by his sequence glove.
I saw that. That's ridiculous. And we wonder why he goes broke and has to sue managers.
What color was the glove?
Silver, of course.
I would have accepted white or silver. Originally, it was white, and then it became sequence silver.
Well, I was going to say the sequins are silver, right. The glove is white.
Yep. Number 2, Nick Jonas and his famous wife celebrated their first wedding anniversary. Who is she?
Now I got to get them right. Now I got to keep them straight. Okay, so Nick Jonas is with, he's with Pikra Chopra.
Priyanka Chopra.
Priyanka Chopra.
I'll give you that. It's close enough.
Yes.
Okay. Number 3, Billie Eilish doesn't know who Van Halen is. Name one lead singer that fronted Van Halen.
Oh, how about my man Sammy Hagar or David Lee Roth or Gary Cherone?
That's right. You've actually named all 3. But
Thank you.
You guys are tied at 3. They're giving Billie Eilish such backlash about it. Like, she's 17.
Yeah, but Wolfgang already came to her defense. He's
right.
The son of Eddie Van Halen. He was like, hey, you like who you like, and that's it. And it's totally cool.
Not for nothing, but Van Halen, to me, is the most annoying band ever. So I don't blame her for not
Eddie Van Halen as an individual. Supremely talented, difficult person.
Number 4, Milk's favorite cookie revealed that their mystery flavor from this past September was churro. What is Milk's favorite cookie?
Oreo.
That is correct. He's beat you, Patrick. At number 5, Alanis Morissette will kick off her Jagged Little Pill 25th anniversary tour.
I know! She's coming to Connecticut!
And announced a new album, too. In her hit song, Ironic, an old man turned 98. He won the lottery, and then what happened?
Died the very next day.
That's right.
Yes, yes. Liz Phair and Garbage opening up, by the way.
I'm only
happy when it rains.
I'm trying to figure out, is that like a show you want to go see?
Liz Phair, cool. Garbage, I'm over it.
Well,
right?
I mean, I think everybody's been over Garbage since 1994.
And is Alanis going to be angry or is she going to be fake angry?
I
need her real
angry. No, I feel like she's always real angry.
No, I feel like she's fake angry now, and then in which case I just wanted her to do the show acoustic.
Patrick, I'm sorry. Raven beat you 5-3 this morning.
I'm Patrick from Easton, and I can't be Raven.
Thank you for trying.
I really want to see that show acoustic because she's awesome with a pan flute.
Next shot to beat Raven coming up tomorrow morning. You can get the cheat sheet, the first two answers to tomorrow's five pop culture questions. That's coming up at 5:30 this afternoon with Kevin Begley. According with Courtney, Courtney Davis is a stand-up comedian, and she is a self-described relationship expert because she managed to bag a millionaire. And a lot of her friends tend to go to her for relationship advice.
You have to kiss a lot of frogs before you find your prince. You can kiss a lot of rich frogs. A lot of guys are terrible, no matter their financial circumstance.
So what I did is I went to the local bars, and I looked for the people that look single, and I asked them if they had any questions for you, Courtney.
Okay, great.
And then I met this guy, and I'm going to let you judge him for yourself.
All right, you know, I'm a little fed up with this double standard thing that's going on today. Because I don't understand why, you know, a girl wants all this equality, but yet when I take her out, I got to pay for the meal. Like, I don't know what's up with that. I mean, if we're going to do this thing, like, they got to pay for their fair share, too.
Great, great. Thoughts? This guy. Okay, first off, I think a girl, we'll get to him later, should always offer in the beginning to pay the bill. You know, even if you do the fake offer, you got to offer. Otherwise, the guy's going to be like, oh, this is what she wants from me only. She's not even appreciating me. So show a little appreciation and offer. Also, I think in the beginning, if they're paying for dinner, you should buy them a drink maybe afterwards, even if you're going in debt, just trying to buy them a drink, and eventually they'll pay off your credit card debt. But, sorry.
Yeah. 6 months later.
Right.
6 months
later. For the first like couple months that I was dating my husband, I would not let him pay for a single thing. I paid for everything.
That's really interesting.
Because I didn't want him to think that I owed him anything.
Right.
Which is usually sexual.
Yes.
But now here we are. It's 15 years later and I don't pay for anything. And that's
exactly. I feel that on a first date and most of the dates, a guy, if he wants to show this woman that he cares about her and he can afford it, he should pay.
Is this a red flag guy? Is this a guy that you're like, nope, I should not see this guy again? Or if you offer to pay for half and he doesn't argue back, and he's like, okay, or right, expects you to pay, should that be a flag that, oh, this isn't probably the direction I want to go in?
This has happened to me a lot. And yeah, to me, it's like they're just not that interested. Why don't they want to get in my pants? Why are they? To me, I think the same thing. Like, if he's making me pay for half, maybe he just doesn't find me that attractive. That's probably the wrong scenario to think, but I wouldn't call them back.
He doesn't want to spoil me. He doesn't want to cater to me.
He's not investing in me.
Right.
If the woman makes more, and that's the type of, they're both comfortable with that, then great. They should do what they want. But I personally wasn't making more than my husband, and he was making a lot more. So I just thought, if you can take care of it, then I will offer when I can and put in what I can. But I want you to pay for my dinner.
It's not just it's not just money, too. It's the nurturing nature of it. And I'm sure not everybody feels that way. We both feel that way, but I'm sure some other people don't. But
I think it makes you feel more masculine when you can take care of a woman.
Right.
And so that feeds your ego a little bit.
I don't want to speak for all guys, but it does for me.
My best girlfriend constantly pays for dates, even if she likes a guy, just because she's worried that she'll owe them sex if they pay.
And a zap. Like,
it's okay.
Or and a zap. You're protected.
Right. Well, that's the first thing I thought. I was also at the time 20 years old, and
right,
that was all in my head. Was,
you
I
made
don't
him
wanna,
marry yeah, you before you let him buy your dessert.
Right. No, that's why I think you just have to have enough self-confidence to be like, my time is worthy enough for him to purchase this meal, and I don't owe anyone anything.
Now, here's the situation. You're sitting at the table. The check comes.
Right.
You pull out your credit card and say, oh, I'll split it with you.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, okay.
Cool.
Right. What do you say? Right.
You
in
say,
that moment,
okay. And in your head, you're like, I'm not going to be texting you.
Right.
That's it. Red flag.
Red flag.
I see what happened there. Right.
If you ever need relationship advice, you could reach out to Courtney. Just email her, Courtney@star999.com.